Do you ever wonder what's happening behind the scenes of the multi-trillion dollar fashion industry? In the new podcast, Fashion People, Puck correspondent and 20-year fashion veteran Lauren Sherman and a rotating cast of industry insiders discuss what fashion people are really talking about behind the scenes of the star-studded business, from creative director switcheroos to M&A drama, DTC downfalls, and Met Gala mishaps. Fashion People, a presentation of Odyssey in partnership with Puck, is available now wherever you get your podcasts. Make Me Smart is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where? Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Whoa!
There it is.
Here I am, filling out my out-of-office. There it is. Hey everybody, I'm Kyle Rizdahl. Welcome back to Make Me Smart. Making today make sense is what we try to do on this podcast. Some days more successfully than others, I fear.
Well, hopefully today is going to be a more successful one. I'm Kimberly Adams, yes. And it's What Do You Want to Know Wednesday? The day in the week when we try to get to some of the answers and questions. We'll get to the questions that y'all send us and then hopefully try to answer them. And you can send your questions in, as always, to makemesmart@marketplace.org. Or leave us a voicemail at our number, 508-827-6278, also known as 508-UB-SMART.
Excellent. All right, so starting off today on What Do You Want to Know Wednesday, Kurt in Idaho has this.
I have a lot of friends that are reluctant to get their vaccine because they say it's still an experimental drug. Even though it has emergency use authorization, it doesn't have full FDA approval. So my question is, how far out is this approval and what is involved in the process? Thanks.
Yeah, great question about vaccine reluctance because it's not formally approved, right? It's still on that emergency use authorization. Piece of the New York Times, I think like today or yesterday, talking about the FDA thinking about approving, not thinking about, on track to approve the Pfizer vaccine by Labor Day, which seems really soon. Lots of pressure, of course, up to and including, you know, from high reaches in the government, which, you know, fine, okay. But it's a much more convoluted and drawn out process, right, to approve something for permanent use as opposed to emergency use authorization, which is what we have now. It's really different.
Yeah, but I would also say that, you know, I think there's a difference between getting formal FDA approval and being experimental. You know, these drugs have been through their experimental phases. They went through massive clinical trials, you know, with millions of people who were ready to sign up to help these things get through. And like the full resources of the world, world went at this at the same time. So it's a little disingenuous to call these experimental at this phase, although we are still learning information about the long-term effects, just like any other relatively new drug that comes on the market. But what we do know about these vaccines is that they pretty much universally will stop you from dying of COVID with very teeny tiny minuscule exceptions to that. But, you know, Pfizer and BioNTech have submitted their requests for full authorization. The Biden administration seems to be trying to move that along. But, yeah, there are a lot more steps to go through for full approval. And I think the FDA and the other agencies involved are really trying to make sure that they check every box, dot every I, cross every T, just to not give people any reason to doubt the process. That said, having spoken to people who are hesitant or refuse to get the vaccine, you know, in my own life, I feel like it's a little bit of an excuse that people are using to, you know, do whatever they want to do anyway. And, you know, people get to make those decisions, but it costs the rest of us. And for many of them, it costs themselves.
Yeah, I think one of the other interesting aspects about this being fully approved through the regular process, regular order, if I could mix my Washington regulatory metaphors, is what companies feel that they can do, right? Whether companies who have been perhaps reluctant to say you must be vaccinated to work at this company or patronize this company, if they've been hesitant because it's an emergency use authorization, that maybe it'll smooth the way if it's fully approved. I don't know. We'll see. I mean, there's a whole lot of, you know, behavioral economics on this thing, both by people and companies and institutions. So,
yeah, I mean, and, you know, it takes usually between like 6 to 8 months for a priority vaccine review in normal circumstances. Non-priority vaccine reviews usually take about 12 months. So we are into the place where this should be getting done. So, fingers crossed, it'll happen soon. All right. Next question is about the fires out where you are, West.
Hi, this is Zara from Spokane, Washington. I live in the Pacific Northwest, and lately I have been smelling quite a bit of smoke. And at one point, the sun was an eerily beautiful shade of red. And after seeing this crimson red sun, a question popped into my head. The question is, what are some of the economic effects of these fires? Thanks for making me smart.
Yeah, totally. So those sunsets are kind of amazing.
Interesting sunsets out here, too.
Yeah. Well, that was the thing. When I was in New York 2 weeks ago.
The country.
I know. I was in New York 2 weeks ago. I'm walking along. I was on 47th Street, and I'm walking along, and I looked up, and I said, wow, the sky's got that weird West Coast wildfire orange haze to it. And sure enough, it was the smoke and the particulates from the Oregon wildfire, the big giant one up there, which is just freaky. Just freaky.
So if we want to just start high level, that's a big economic cost. The fact that that smoke goes all the way across the country, there are effects on climate change, which do have, or global warming. I listened to you and Molly talking about that the other day. It does have that impact, and that, of course, has economic consequences downstream. But also there's the cost of fighting said fires. That's equipment. That's personnel. There are staffing shortages throughout the economy, and that includes in people to do this incredibly difficult and often very dangerous work of fighting these fires. So it's expensive. There's property damage, and some of it's covered by insurance, which means everybody's insurance rates go up. But some of it not, which means that you might have FEMA or federal or state assistance stepping in, and that is effectively tax dollars. And then there's indirect costs. You've got the healthcare bills of people who are injured, smoke inhalation, trauma and emotional damage for people who've been through these sorts of experiences, disrupted businesses. There's a cost to that. There's a loss of the tax revenue from the business disruption or property taxes from people who lost their home. I mean, it goes on and on and on.
Yeah, there's all kinds of costs, and Kimberly ticked through them, and it's nothing good. There is nothing good about those fires. Full stop.
Yeah, you're not going away to anywhere with fires, right?
No, although, you know, interestingly enough, so we're going to Michigan for a whole lot of reasons, I might have been on Morning Edition, I think, some piece about how wildfires ain't just out west. And there were like 200 wildfires in Michigan last year. And you're like, hello?
Oh.
You know? Yeah. Yeah. Anyway. So. There you go.
Okay.
Next question. Joel in Virginia, I believe. Right? Go.
We're just bouncing from coast to coast.
I know, right?
Like many people fortunate enough to stay employed last year, I made a crucial investment in my quality of life and adopted a dog. Rocco, the Aussie Shepherd super mutt, has changed my life in many wonderful ways, and he's had a major impact on my economic activity. In addition to new consumption habits, dog dadhood has influenced what I look for in a home. And when I recently changed jobs, it was important to be able to work from home a few days a week once we're back in the office. While I know there is no other dog in the whole wide world as special as my Rocco Taco, I was curious to know, how is the pandemic-inspired surge in pet parenthood influencing the economy, both today and looking forward? Love the show. Thanks for making me smart. Time for a walk.
Rocco Taco.
I love this.
That's awesome.
Okay, what's you're the really one with dogs. That, you go for it.
I know, but what's interesting is that that has affected his home buying and moving and job prospects. I think that's freaking amazing. So, look, we all know because we all saw on social media or what have you all the stories about people getting pets. Shelters were empty, which is awesome. So here's just a random economic factoid for you. 2020 retail sales of pet products. Thank you much, Marissa Cabrera and Grace Rubin. $107 billion in 2020 for pet products and services, 9% up from the year before and well above regular pre-pandemic expectations. Here's the thing, though. The good part is most people, aside from the anecdotal data of people returning their pets because they can't care for them now, they have to go to the office or whatever, by and large, people are keeping their pets. And that's really, really good. So look, pets are important. And I'm ashamed to admit this, but not really given the company I'm keeping on this podcast. I was a cat person growing up and I have become a dog person. Well, cats are fine now, but dogs are my people, man. Dogs are my people. If I could.
I love dogs. I just can't deal. I live in a city. And so you have to pick it up as you go. And I can't touch the warm. Yep. Mm-mm. Even through the plastic bag, I just can't do it. So,
okay. This is a little bit TMI. But as I was out on the yard the backyard, picking up the unmentionable, I thought to myself, you know, I could do a Twitter poll on this. Would you rather pick up warm dog poop or cold dog poop? That's what crosses my mind at 7 o'clock in the morning when I'm picking dog poop up off the yard.
Shout out listeners, to Jasper and his box.
Make me smart at marketplace.org.
He goes in the box.
Oh my goodness.
But yeah, I was actually really. Everyone in the Slack is saying cold. Why is this a question? I'm really glad to know that people are not terrible human beings because I think I would have died a little bit more inside if everybody had tried to dump their pandemic pets. One of our mutual former colleagues got herself a pet during the pandemic and has created an Instagram account for said pup.
Oh, that's great.
And
that's cool.
I think a large part of the origin of our company Slack channel dedicated to pets was all these people who got pandemic pets. And it's very cute and it definitely cheers me up on bad days.
That is awesome.
Okay.
That is awesome. Last thing. Here we go. AC out of California pitched a new segment idea. Here you go. I love when Kimberly Adams is on. However, why is there not an Uncle David's update report? It is an easy path to joy, which is a really good point.
So for people who may not know, I have two Uncle Davids who've been together a really long time. They're both named David and they wear matching outfits. And I tweeted about them last year during the pandemic and people on Instagram and Twitter loved them. And so that's what this is about. And so since I knew this question was coming, I did actually call them. I caught them at breakfast this morning and I asked them to send an update. So here you go.
Good Wednesday morning, loved ones, and that excludes no one. This is Uncle David's at Camp David, at Camp David's, just giving an update. So let's see, what's been going on, Uncle David?
Well, everybody's running around the neighborhood doing good, and the mother Muscovy is sitting on
14 baby eggs. Yeah.
So we're expecting a new...
bunch of baby ducks.
Yeah, soon.
And the guineas and the chickens and the roosters are all doing good. The doorway to imagination is still holding up out there in the backyard. And this Saturday, August the 7th, is Uncle David's 71st birthday. So we're going to have a safe, masked birthday party for him with local loved ones. So we just wanted to give you that update, and everybody take care, and you indeed, all of our nibblings out there, you are our loved ones, and that excludes no one. Say
and that excludes no one.
Hugs, everybody. Bye-bye.
Bye.
That's not a bad life they're living out there. They've got quite the menagerie, man.
They really do, and I keep telling them that it's really not appropriate for them to keep their duck in the house. But
oh no, you can't keep a duck in the house.
they what? they I think the duck is too big now, but like the duck got pretty large before they finally like moved it outside. And
so, this is perhaps an indelicate question. These are pets, right? Not food. These 14 that are going to be born and the chickens and the guineas and all that.
Yeah, the animals are all pets, the guineas and the chickens and the roosters. But if, like, one of them goes lame or something like that, they might have a different future in store or something like that. But I will say they use the word nibblings, which was a word I did not know before last year because they were looking for a gender-neutral term for nieces and nephews, and apparently it exists. It's called nibblings.
Is it?
Sorry, Google.
Wow. Nibbling is a gender-neutral term. Look at that. Thought to have been coined in the early 1950s, relatively obscure, though, for several decades. How about that?
Yeah,
learn something every day on this podcast. Learn something
every day.
That's too funny. Good for them. All right, we got to go. What Do You Want to Know Wednesday is in the books for today. I am out tomorrow and Friday and all of next week. Kimberly's in charge. Megan McCarty-Carino is in tomorrow. Euler's going to do a couple of stints in the co-host chair, so y'all will be well taken care of.
I have all the power. All the power. In the meantime, keep sending your questions. We're at makemesmart@marketplace.org, or you can leave us a voicemail. Our number is 508-827-6278, also known as 508-UB-SMART. Megan is super on it with workplace things. She's our workplace culture reporter. Mm-hmm. And so if you have questions about the new workplace, she's great on that. Euler is really excellent on stories about energy as well as sports. Because I am not, but he knows all the sports things. A little bit of sports from Andy Euler.
One more thing before we hit the close music. It is au revoir, auf Wiedersehen, goodbye, and thank you to Erica Phillips today. Tomorrow, is it tomorrow, Bridget, or is it Friday? I think it's Friday. But anyway, this week is our last week at Marketplace and Make Me Smart. You know her from the newsletters that she writes, explainers. Also, just a huge member of this team, and we'll miss her on Slack. We'll miss her in meetings. When we get back to having them in person and the occasional Zooms, she's going to a new gig. She's going to be a reporter again. And so we are happy for her. We thank her so much for all that she's done in the 2 years here. Bunch of stuff on the morning show as well. So if you heard it on the air or if you read it in a newsletter on this podcast, chances are Erica Phillips had a whole bunch to do with it. So,
or on the smart speaker.
And good luck. Or on the smart speaker. Oh, my God. Who's going to write those?
Everything. Just up. Everything. Yeah. You're so awesome, Erica. Make Me Smart is produced by Marissa Cabrera. Today's program was engineered by Drew Jostad.
Ben Talladay and Daniel Ramirez did our theme music. Our senior producer is Bridget Bodner. Likes to think she's in charge, but I don't know. Actually, mostly she is. I'm not gonna open that door.
You take that one by yourself.
Thank you. Leaving me out
You're
here.
You're welcome.
All by my lonesome. Sorry,
on the bus. Under the bus at the corner of Front Street and Main.
Oh, man. All right.
Have a great time off, Kai.
I will. See ya.
Strong communication skills are critical for success in business and in life. Hi, I'm Matt Abrahams, and I host Stanford Graduate School of Business's Think Fast, Talk Smart, the podcast. Each week, I sit down with experts to discuss the best tips to help you with your communication skills, from conflict management to mastering small talk to tackling communication anxiety. Join us and start to develop and hone your communication skills. Listen every Tuesday wherever you get your podcasts or on YouTube.